I give the floor to Rafael to talk about the agenda consultation.
No worries. So I just wanted to do a quick introduction, and then Rafael can take over. So we're moving on to agenda paper 2, which is on the board's third agenda consultation. I think most of you are probably aware of the agenda consultation process, but it is what the board undertakes every 5 years to determine its priorities for the next 5-year period. So in this case, we're talking about 2022 to 2026. And we have two main objectives for this session. The first is just to give you a very brief overview of the content of the request for information that will be published at the end of this month. And then secondly, more importantly, is to seek your advice on the outreach activities that we can undertake during the comment period. And we'll leave the bulk of the time to have that conversation with you. So just very quickly, jumping to slide 5, this is the timetable for the board's project. And the main thing to highlight for you here is, as I mentioned, we expect the request for information to be published at the end of this month. And at the moment, the board has decided on a 120-day comment period, which would take us to the end of July. But you may have noticed that for the board meeting next week, we've actually posted a paper where the staff are now recommending an extended comment period of 180 days. So we'll have a decision on that next, but you go with 120 days or 180 days for the comment period. Our expectation is that the board would publish its work plan and its feedback statement in the first half of 2022. The other thing to just flag for you is that even though this is setting the activities in the work plan for 2022 to 2026, the board's work is not set in stone. And you might remember this from the previous agenda consultation. As urgent and time-sensitive matters arise, the board keeps capacity to take them on. So things like IBOR reform and COVID-19 related rent concessions were also added to the board's work plan due to the urgency of both of those projects. In terms of what exactly the agenda consultation covers, very simply, it's the scope of the board's current work. So it is financial statements and management commentary for profit-oriented companies. And the reason that I emphasize this is, as you can see on slide 6, the trustees of the IFRS Foundation also undertake a 5-year strategic review. And this is going on at the same time. And so when we talk to some of our stakeholders, sometimes there's a little bit of confusion about the difference between the board's agenda consultation and the trustees' strategic review. And the main difference is that, as I mentioned, the board is exploring the priorities within the current scope of its activities, whereas the trustees are focusing on the potential expansion of the role of the IFRS Foundation. So it's exploring whether to establish a new board to set sustainability reporting standards. And then the other bit to highlight on this slide is that there may be interconnectedness. If the trustees do, in fact, establish this new sustainability standards board, there may be interconnectedness between the IASB and the new board. And what that might look like is yet to be determined. But there is sufficient time in the deliberations in the board's process to determine that once we have more direction from the trustees. And then finally, on the topic of what the request for information will cover, on slide 8, you see the three main aspects of the agenda consultation. The first is the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. The second is the criteria for assessing which projects the board could add to its work plan. And the third is the financial reporting issues that should be given priority on the board's work plan. And the key takeaway from this slide is that even though most stakeholders like to jump straight to point number 3 and talk about the priority of the specific technical accounting projects, we want to start first with the overall balance of the board's activities and everything it does, which is more than just the setting of IFRS standards and major amendments to IFRS standards. So it's very important from our perspective that we hear your feedback on parts 1 in particular, as well as 2 and 3. And with that, Rafael, if I could turn things over to you to talk a little bit more about the content.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Moving on to slides 9 and 10, they include more details about the first part of the consultation, the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. The RFI will provide an overview of the board's 6 main activities, what the board currently does within each activity, and examples of what more it could do. You will be familiar with most of these activities, but let me provide some further background on a couple of those activities. One of them is digital financial reporting. Today, the board focuses on supporting digital financial reporting by developing and maintaining the IFRS taxonomy as new standards are developed. The IFRS taxonomy helps facilitate digital consumption so that the global comparability we have on paper extends to the digital world. It also allows for comparability of financial statements in different languages. The problem is that digital consumption of financial reports is increasing, but there is limited and inconsistent adoption of the IFRS taxonomy around the world, and data quality needs to be improved. This has the potential to undermine the benefits of globally consistent accounting standards. So the question is whether the time is right to do more to help investors, given the strength toward digital financial reporting. For example, we could think more about how information will be reported digitally as we write our standards, do more to encourage global adoption of the IFRS taxonomy to counter the fragmentation we see today. The other board's activity that may not be as familiar to you is understandability and accessibility. This work primarily helps the stakeholder who use the standards, so preparers, auditors, regulators, and national standard setters, to provide high-quality financial information to investors. In undertaking its activities, the board focuses on the understandability of its standards, for example, by reducing unnecessary complexity and cost for companies, while improving the quality of information provided to investors, and by drafting clear standards. The board does this through the involvement of editorial and translation teams and external reviewers. To further improve the understandability of the standards, the board could, for example, create a comprehensive inventory of possible areas of unnecessary complexity and amend existing requirements in these areas. Or the board could make changes to the way in which standards are drafted so that standards are more clearly articulated and consistent terminology and structure are used. This approach could be applied to amend existing standards or to develop new standards. The board also strives to make the standards and related materials accessible, for example, by publishing annotated IFRS standards with cross-references to other materials, by publishing semi-annual compilations of the Interpretations Committee agenda decisions, and by improvements to technology to help navigate the electronic version of the standards. The board could further improve accessibility of the standards by using technology and other tools to help stakeholders find materials that are most relevant to them and help them understand how those materials relate to each other. So this could be things like flowcharts and tailoring tools. If you have a plain vanilla lease contract, it takes you straight to the paragraphs you need to think about, so we don't need to navigate through all IFRS standards. The next part of the consultation is moving our focus from all of the board's activities to the one that you are probably most familiar with, that is research and standard setting. This part of the consultation is about whether we have the right criteria for assessing which research and standard setting projects to add to the work plan. The 7 criteria are listed on slide 12 of Agenda Paper 2. The thing to bear in mind is that the relative importance of any specific criterion will vary depending on the particular circumstances. It is also worth mentioning that when the staff come back to the board with recommendations on which projects to add to its work plan, we will try to provide as much information as possible on these criteria. In effect, we would like to provide the board with not only the level of stakeholder demand for a topic, but also evidence in relation to these criteria. And I will give you some examples of that in a few minutes. The objective of the last part of the consultation is to seek stakeholders' feedback on which major financial reporting issues the board could add to its research and standard setting work plan for 2022 to 2026. The overview of this part is included on slides 13 to 15. There are two key points to stress. First, this part of the RFI is about which new projects to add to the board's work plan. We assume that we will continue existing projects to completion, and we have set aside capacity for the required post-implementation reviews. Second, the board has limited capacity, so it can add only a small number of projects to its work plan. As I mentioned, our staff papers will try to couple analysis of stakeholder feedback with evidence in relation to the criteria on slide 12, so that the board can combine that with their experience and expertise to determine how to prioritize its activities and balance its work plan. Examples of the types of information we will try to include in staff papers are presented on slide 16 and include whether addressing the issue improves financial reporting for the primary users of general purpose financial reports as defined by the conceptual framework, the extent to which existing practice adequately addresses the issue for investors, whether the issue is due to a standard setting or a compliance issue, how pervasive is the issue, what type of companies are affected. Therefore, if you hear any information of this nature in your outreach, we would be interested in hearing it as well. And on slide 17, we have included a reminder about different options to engage with the board and provide feedback. One of the options to provide the feedback will be via an online survey. And with that introduction and overview, I will turn it over to the ASAP members, and questions to you are included on slide 3. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rafael. Who would like to take the floor? Mark.
Thank you. Certainly, in terms of the questions on slide 3, I know that my colleagues at the endorsement board are already going to run a joint event with the board staff, I think in May, in support of your outreach. And obviously, at the moment, the benefits of being able to engage through podcasts and webinars are really helpful. I just want to pick up on the, one of the points that Nilly covered off at the start, and that is I would be very strongly supportive of the proposal in the staff paper to extend the consultation period to 180 days. At the moment, there are a very significant number of big items that are coming through for consultation. Today in the UK, we had the government's proposals for the reform of corporate reporting, corporate governance and audit. And it's a very congested landscape. And I think also the context that underpins a lot of this is that the difficulties of working in the pandemic mean that extra time is really appreciated. So beyond the sort of usual channels of engagement, I just wanted to say I really, really am supportive of the 180-day proposal.
Okay, yeah, that is an important comment. Nobu?
Yes, thank you, Hans. I just want to touch one point that Nili mentioned, which is the interaction with this potential standard setting board that or sustainability board that the and the IFRS Foundation might set up. And whatever happens to that new board, we believe that the ISB should continue to make sure that it has enough resources to develop high quality accounting standards. And in that context, we strongly urge the ISB, whenever conducting this outreach on the agenda consultation, to focus on accounting issues and not to mix any discussions about the potential sustainability issues that may arise. We know that they exist, but we do want the ISB to focus on accounting issues. In terms of the outreach that the ISB is conducting in the world of this pandemic, I think in for the primary financial statements and goodwill, I think we had a very successful outreach meeting between ISB board members and staff and constituents in our jurisdictions using this web-based format. And therefore, we do, and because this gender consultation is another very important project for our constituents in our jurisdiction, I think we would want to use the same format or if we cannot meet in person or discuss in person. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nobu. You?
Okay. Thank you, Hans. Generally, we think that the agenda consultation is very important for the board, and we support it. And regarding the questions on slide page 3, we have some comments on question 1. We think the outreach activities listed in the agenda paper, we think is sufficient. In addition, we have some suggestions for the board to consider when conducting the outreach activities. The first one, we suggest the outreach activities should be involved with different types of stakeholders, preparers, users, regulators, auditors, and so on. Second, we hope the board could consider the language problems, and if the local language could be used in the outreach activities as far as possible, it will be very helpful for the stakeholders to fully express their views. Based on our experience last year, the online outreach meeting on goodwill, the stakeholder in China, they are more active. They are very active when the local language is used. The third point that people suggest the board to consider the time arrangement for each outreach activities to allow sufficient time for both the board and the stakeholders to make preparation. That's our comment on question 1. On question 2, we think the 2 points that we think we can provide assistance for the board with outreach activities. First, to help the board to organize the outreach activities. For example, select and recommend some participating representatives from local stakeholders. Second, we can also help promote local stakeholders to participate in the outreach activities and summarize the results of the outreach and submit it to the board. That's our comment on question 2. Regarding question 3, we hope the board and the staff could provide some support for the outreach. First, to prepare some material for the outreach activities. The material can provide the objectives, topics to discuss, questions for stakeholders, as well as the background of the project, so that the stakeholder may have better understanding of the project and outreach, and the outreach will be more effective and efficient. Second, we hope the board could assign some staff who are able to use the jurisdiction's local language to participate in the outreach meeting. Third, when we or the stakeholder have some questions on some technical questions regarding the project, we hope the board or the staff could provide some technical assistance to make explanations for us. Yeah, that's our comments on the all the three questions. Thank you.
Chiara, please. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Hans. Yes, we also welcome the proposal of the staff to grant more time for the consultation, because this will facilitate like the collection of better input in this specific situation that we're living. And we would be pleased to join forces also on this project with the ISB on public events or also closed session. Because we, it's worth mentioning that we will also run the EFRAG own proactive agenda consultation in combination with the IASB agenda consultation. So we would like to attract a good number of respondents having a public event. In the meanwhile, we are also planning to consult our working group, and in particular, the user panel and the academic panel may play a role on this consultation. So looking forward to cooperate again also on this one. Just to mention that out of the list of projects, EFRAG is currently running three projects as part of the proactive activity, so the crypto, the intangibles, and the variable and contingent. So we also hope to help you with our discussion papers and our feedback on the consultations. Thank you.
You're on mute, Hans.
Xiaoqing, please. Xiaoqing Ji.
Okay, thank you. And as China is the leader of the AOSSG, the cross-cutting topics working group, we would like to introduce the AOSSG's comments on this topic. And in terms of types of outreach activities the board should undertake, almost all AOSSG members generally agree with the board's plan for outreach activities. Especially AOSSG members prefer the use of webinars, video conferences, and online surveys, because these tools would make it possible for the board to hear from a broader base of stakeholders and civil resources. In addition, some AOSSG members also mentioned that webinars is an excellent platform for education, but not all participants would provide feedbacks. And the online survey needs to be short and highly summarized. That may be good for asking feedback on the priority of the projects. For question two, most AOSSG members are all considering to organize webinars, outreach meetings, or online surveys to communicate with more local stakeholders in their jurisdictions and summarize the results of the survey and submit comments to the board. For question three, in terms of the board support, most AOSSG members think unified outreach materials prepared by the board would be helpful in the effective engagement with stakeholders, creating awareness of the project and collecting feedbacks. And some AOSSG members suggest a direct participation by the board member or its technical staff in the outreach activities. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I've tried to adjust my sound settings. Can you hear me?
Yes, it's fine.
Okay, yeah. Good. So in echoing what you've heard from others, we would also support extra time for this consultation because we think it's very important. We also like the criteria that you're using because it helps people understand how you might be making decisions. We also think that during this particular consultation, what would be foremost in people's minds are what they've learned about applying IFRS in a very unusual environment. And so we are opening up the notion that we may get some surprises from stakeholders about some things they would like addressed. We don't know what those are. Going concern is likely going to be one of them. That may not be a surprise, but we are just open to hearing other things from our stakeholders during these conversations. Like others, we are going to develop a formal outreach plan. Our board is considering that in an April meeting, and then we would propose sharing that with the staff so that you could pipe into any of those outreach activities as you would wish. It will include our IFRS discussion group, our user advisory committee, our academic advisory committee, and our normal outreach with different industries, including things like extractive, agriculture, banks, etc. So we believe that we will put this on the high end of the spectrum in terms of outreach. I also want to support the comments already made. The ISB does a fabulous job of preparing materials that explain the purpose of the discussion and illustrating the way the ISB is approaching something and asking for feedback. And so rather than us developing our own materials, if we can work jointly with your staff in that regard, it saves capacity on both ends of the spectrum. And so we would echo those comments as well.
Okay, thank you, Linda. It's very useful. Jim?
Yes, Bob. We're also just beginning an agenda consultation process. We've had input from our advisory committees, those that have met this quarter already, input from liaison meetings, and then individual discussions to help us frame what will be an outreach paper. And we're probably 3 to 4 months behind the IASB's process. Obviously, our sets of standards have, in some places, very converged solutions, in some places different starting points. Of course, our stakeholder groups are different, but there's certainly significant overlap for multinationals and others. I know we would benefit greatly from hearing the input that you receive, and because we're a few months behind you, we have that opportunity. I do think we'll have enough input in your timeframe that we'd be more than happy to share what priorities we're hearing as well. I think it provides for opportunities to keep converged standards, the best opportunity to keep converged standards converged and to seek for joint opportunities in the future.
Thank you, Jim. EH?
Yeah, thank you, Hans. Korea has a relatively wide spectrum of business from agriculture to manufacturing and high-tech services. So we'll be able to confirm the voices of industry players from different industry. In fact, as you know, we have a pretty good interaction, close interaction with the industry because, in a unique system in Korea is a Q&A system. We are handling like thousands of different Q&As. So through this channel, we are trying to get in touch with a few, preparers so that to know what's their primary interest, what's the area of issues. At the same time, in our jurisdiction, there are a couple of companies in the emerging industries, such as high tech and bio. They are struggling with very new accounting issues, including cryptocurrency. So definitely we have to deal with this issue with specific companies. So when we come up with any good ideas, balanced voices, then we'll be able to pass the outcome to the board. Thank you.
Okay, Patrick.
Thank you, Hans. First of all, a general comment, which is our stakeholders are in favor of a stable platform. So in the slides that you that have been presented, they would put an emphasis on, you know, maintenance and consistent application and digital financial reporting, I'm sure. The other comment is, again, related to sustainability reporting. I personally believe that financial accounting standards setter need to be, you know, available somehow to create the interconnectivity, which is highlighted by most observers. And when I have a look at the criteria on slide 12, I think that somehow the ISB should have some time left to consider connectivity issues, even if they are not precise today, in the coming years, because they would probably meet most, if not all, the criteria that I described under slide 12. And when I have a look at slide 14, where you have described projects, I see two that are somehow related to sustainability reporting. It's two, climate-related risks, and it is 19, pollutant pricing mechanisms, which is inactive. So I am wondering if the ISB shouldn't consider, you know, allocating some resources to make sure that there is the right interconnectivity between financial reporting and sustainability reporting. I don't think it is concentrating on sustainability reporting per se. That's another topic, but it is a connectivity. In the report that the EFRAG Task Force has produced, we are talking about anchor points. Anchor points are those elements in the financial reporting which have to be, taken as a starting point for sustainability reporting. That works also on the other way. Anchor points in sustainability reporting that have to be taken or will have to be taken into account for financial reporting. So I would encourage to put this as a separate, point to consider. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Mary, you wanted to ask a question to you.
Yes, it's for you, but a couple of other people have also raised the question of ISB prepared materials to support outreach, and it's a very basic operational question. I just want to check that it's what you're envisaging is something along the lines of the deck that has been provided to ASAF for this discussion. Obviously, we're asking you slightly different questions, but I just, because of who you are in the setting of this discussion, but I wanted to check that what you were after is something modeled on the kind of material that's in today's deck. If I could get maybe even just via the chat some yays or nays on that, or if you want to follow up with Rafael, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Rodrigo.
Thank you, Hans. As we have a different opinion about the timelines. I can say that we believe the comment period is very long in our opinion, okay? I will try to explain why. We have a list in slide 14 with more than 20 projects, but we know what is very important for us. What is the most important project in their list? For example, you know that cryptocurrency, we have to discuss cryptocurrency. We know that employee benefit is an important project as well. So you would like to propose something a little bit simple. You should define some projects and just discuss specific ones. For example, we can discuss about the pollution price, discuss about variable and contingent consideration. In my opinion, it's a very rich project, but we couldn't discuss about cryptocurrency, climate rate risks, and another ones. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Before Nili will summarize, Mark, you had an additional point.
Yes, thank you, Hans. Just the looking at the criteria that you've set out, which I think is really helpful. The seventh one, the capacity of the board and its stakeholders to progress a project. I do think, and it will probably be something that comes out a lot in the board's engagement, that there is a capacity question around the ability of stakeholders to digest what looks to be a very ambitious developing agenda. The board has done an incredible amount of work in recent years and has delivered major change. And it does make me wonder about the need for sort of a degree of consolidation and bedding in. And I sort of welcome the fact that the criteria is in there to look at the ability of stakeholders to cope with a further intensive period of delivery. But I do think, and again, it comes back to that sort of pandemic lens on things, the needs of the stakeholder community out there are now perhaps very different as a result of the pandemic than they were perhaps as some of the thinking which has informed the development of the proposals has gone on. And I just wonder how we ensure that that is something that's properly surfaced and brought out in all of the engagement.
Yes, thanks, Mark. You?
Okay, thank you, Hans. And thank you, Mary. Regarding the material, I mentioned in my comments earlier that I just want to clarify some point that we hope the material for the outreach activities could be, not too long, highlight the objectives, the questions for stakeholders, the background of the project, and so on, so that the stakeholders may have a better understanding and the stakeholders with different background, they may have a different understanding of the project. So we hope we can use one unified material for all the outreach. Yeah, and last, actually, I think the board did well at least in the last few years. Last year, for take the goodwill outreach, for example, I think that material is very helpful for the stakeholders in China when we conducting the joint outreach with the board. Yeah, thank you, Mary.
Okay, Nili, would you like to summarize?
Yes, just a few observations, and thank you everybody for your feedback. It was tremendously helpful. With respect to comment periods, I'm hearing several people are supportive of a longer comment period. But Rodrigo, I do take your point on board that perhaps it's too long because you already know what the main issues are. The one thing I would just flag is if you do have extra time, what would be helpful for us is the information on slides 12 and 16. So a little bit more depth behind the why. Why is this a priority? Is it pervasive? Is it an issue for investors? Who's demanding it and that sort of thing? So appreciate your feedback, and we'll see what the board decides next week, but I'll pass that along. Secondly, number of you had observed the desire for joint activities and materials that we can share, and absolutely appreciate that. We'd be delighted to do joint activities, and we'll look into some materials that we might be able to share with everybody. A few comments about doing these activities or outreach online, virtually through surveys. Absolutely happy to do that. I think COVID has shown us that it's very possible to do that successfully. If, and perhaps this is too optimistic, but if it is possible to do some in person as well, I would love to see that too. So we'll just play that one by ear. And then fourth, it sounds like there are a few other agenda consultations that are also going on. Kiara, you mentioned yours in by EFRAG, and then Jim, you had mentioned yours with the FASB. And so that would be very helpful for us to all coordinate and make sure we can learn from each other. And then finally, Nobu and Patrick, you had both mentioned sustainability. And the one thing I would just point out there is that we do recognize there is a linkage between the IASB and any sort of new board that the trustees may establish on sustainability. And so there will be some interconnectedness that would require some capacity. In the RFI, we have provided estimations of capacity. And if the case is that there needs to be more interconnectedness, then we will just have to pull that from the estimates that we have in the RFI. So the RFI numbers that you see are assuming no interconnectedness, but we recognize that we'll have to factor that in after the trustees make any sort of a decision. So that timing is something that would allow for that consideration, and we're well aware of the need to do that. So thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you, Neely. I propose we take a 15 minutes break till 1:30 our time, and then we'll have our last topic for today, which is the management commentary. So see you again in 15 minutes.